Good morning. Welcome to our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Limmler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Talking and praying this week about Jesus being King of Kings and what that looks like in the practical sense in our day-to-day life according to God's Word. And so each day we're spending a little time on something different that the Bible says Jesus has authority over as king, as the one who's in charge. And today we're going to talk about King of Forgiveness. And Jesus not only taught that we ought to forgive one another, he made it very clear that we needed forgiveness of sin. Sin against him, against his Father. Sin which separates us from God's presence and must be dealt with through the blood of Jesus. In Mark chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Into context, Jesus said, forgiven the sin. It told a man that his sins were forgiven. And man that was in great need. Now the religious leaders, those that were watching, were upset with this. And in fact, they said, well, only God can forgive sin. This is blasphemy. This is just uncalled for. It's completely unacceptable. You can't just go around telling people that their sins are forgiven. Now, I don't know. That seems kind of strange to me. If someone wants to say that their sins are forgiven, you know, part of my mind would say, well, what harm does it do? Well, from the perspective of the religious leaders, and I suspect there might be some element of concern and care in there, although you read their history of the interaction with Jesus, and I'm not sure that's true, but the idea is it gives false hope if it's not true. And so Jesus turns around and at various times as he heals people, he's confronted with this idea of forgiving. And there's a time where he'll ask, is it easier to tell a person to say your sins are forgiven or to say to a crippled man, get up and walk? Well, the obvious answer as far as simply saying is your sins are forgiven. I mean, how can you tell whether that happened or not from an outside observer? To tell a crippled man to get up and walk, it's going to be pretty obvious whether that actually happens. And here in Mark, Jesus says, so that you may know that the Son of Man, that he has the authority to forgive sins, he tells this man to get up and walk, to be healed, to be made whole. And in fact, the man does. And when we recognize the authority of Jesus to forgive sins, it ought to change the way we view people. I often wonder, and typically as I read the Bible, I like to imagine myself in the midst of the story. And different times I'll read it, I'll imagine myself as different characters. I mean, I'll switch the character up as who I imagine myself being. I think of myself as the man who was in need of healing. You know, what would I think of someone simply coming up and telling me my sins are forgiven? Now, I would likely be very certain that I had sinned, especially in their day and their culture, that was widely thought that physical ailments and especially long-lasting disabilities were the result of sin. In fact, Jesus and his disciples encounter a man who was blind, and they want to know, well, whose sin caused this, his or his parents? And Jesus says it wasn't either of them. This one was so that the glory of God can be revealed, and Jesus heals the man. But it was fairly typical that sin was involved in those with physical disabilities. And so to have someone tell you your sins are forgiven would, I would guess, likely be a relief, but I wonder if I had been there as that man, whether I would have thought it was enough. And then to hear the arguments that the religious leaders, those who ought to be thrilled that your sins have been forgiven, are claiming that that could not have happened. That this man Jesus did not have the authority to do so. Perhaps they were even under their breath claiming this man that was crippled did not deserve it. I don't know all of the rationale and reasonings behind the religious leaders' objection, other than a proven hatred for Jesus over the time that Jesus was teaching. But Jesus made it clear that he had the authority, and he backed it up by doing what was provable, by healing this man, by having him get up and walk. And so when we consider Jesus with the authority to forgive sins, we also have to move into that next level, that he would have the authority to expect us to forgive sins. The disciples get questioning Jesus on this whole idea of forgiveness, those that would follow Jesus. And I believe that they thought they were being generous in asking Jesus, if my brother sins against me, you know, should I forgive him? I'll forgive him 7 times. How about that? That's a good, perfect number. Jesus says, no. If someone, your brother, sins against you and comes and asks for forgiveness, forgive him 70 times 7. Saw a social media meme just yesterday that pictured a representation of Jesus and the disciples, and Jesus is telling them this, and the disciples are scratching their head and said something to the effect of, I guess I'll just forgive. Math is hard. And that was the point. Some translations will actually have 70 times 70. But regardless, the idea was not to count up to 490, nor 4,900. It wasn't to keep track. It was to tell them to keep forgiving. And as the one who was king over the forgiveness of sin, he was generous in that forgiveness to all who would come in faith. And his expectation as his representatives, as his disciples, as his children, is that we would heed that authority to forgive sins and be generous, not only in our forgiveness of others, but in our acceptance of his forgiveness of others. You see, sometimes we're okay with Jesus being king of forgiveness when it's directed towards us. we at least secretly acknowledge that we need that. But sometimes we're a bit like those religious leaders. We're not so excited about the authority of Jesus to forgive the sins of others. We want them to pay. And obviously there are sins that we commit in this life that have consequences that take place in this life. But the forgiveness that Jesus offers is not a full, complete wiping out all of the consequences on earth, but it is his choice to wipe out the eternal consequences. And sometimes that forgiveness that we offer here on earth has the ability to at least lessen the consequences that we may otherwise suffer, but we forgive not because people deserve it, but because they need it. That's what we expect, or at least that's what we need from God. Being king over the forgiveness of sin, it does not take place because Jesus looked upon us and says, oh man, they've been such good people. They need somebody to step in and help them because they're so deserving. In case you're wondering, that's not the way the conversation went in heaven. But the conversation was, I love them so much, I will make a way for them to be cleansed, to be declared righteous, to be made whole, to be saved from their sins. And as the one with the authority of forgiveness of sin, Jesus came on earth and preached a message of repentance, a message of forgiveness, a message of salvation, a message of his kingdom, in where the citizens live differently than the citizens of the world. And so we learn to not only forgive, but to forgive generously. And to forgive just as Christ has forgiven us. Not that we deserved it. Not that others have to deserve it. But because it's the nature of God. It's his desire. He makes it clear that his desire is that no one would perish, but that all would come to repentance. You see, this forgiveness comes about for us as we walk by faith, as we place our trust in God's desire and in his ability. In the text in Mark, Jesus said, I'm going to show you that I have authority, but it was a proof. Not that those proofs are necessary, not that those proofs will happen every time someone's forgiven. But it was to let us know that indeed, when Jesus says your sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. And whether it's him forgiving our sins or him forgiving the sins of others, we ought to rejoice and be glad that he is the one making the call. There isn't a panel of judges sitting around deciding if you deserve to be forgiven. There isn't a panel of judges sitting around deciding if your enemy deserves to be forgiven. That is based on every one of us turning to God in faith. And allowing him through his son Jesus to be king over the forgiveness of sin. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you indeed are a God that loves us. It's because of your love that this forgiveness of sin is possible, because we will never deserve it. It doesn't matter how good we think we are or how bad we think we are. We don't measure up. And it's your love that brings about not only the forgiveness of our sin, but even the faith that we have to ask for it. And that desire within us that wants to change. And Father, today, as we consider what life looks like, perhaps we are living in a way that we think there is no forgiveness. And may we know that that's not dependent on others, it's dependent on you. And that you have given Jesus the authority to forgive sin. And that you do that through our faith that believes and trusts that you indeed are a good God that desires that we would repent, we would come to you regardless of how good or bad we may be. You want us to be saved. You want us to experience that forgiveness. So, Father, if we think we're beyond reach, may we understand that we're not. And, Father, if we are those who believe we're good enough, that we really don't need this, may your Spirit convict us of the fact that without the forgiveness of our sins, we're lost. And may we rejoice in you through your Son Jesus, having that authority and that willingness and that desire to forgive us our sins as we repent, as we come to you, as we acknowledge our need. And Father, as we look at others, may we see them as you see them, especially those that we may initially consider unreachable or beyond hope. May we continually be reminded that that's not our call. In fact, our call is to love them, to do good, to share Jesus, to forgive beyond expectation, so that through our forgiveness they would have a greater understanding of your desire to forgive. And Father, even when we suffer the consequences of sin on the earth, may we continually be reminded that that perhaps is man's punishment, but your forgiveness is bigger than that. So God, today, help us to live life in a way that acknowledges the authority of Jesus to forgive sins, to forgive our sins and to forgive the sins of others. As we believe and accept that, may we proclaim that, so that as we lift up Jesus, many would be drawn to him and experience the forgiveness that they need. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.